Chapter 1, The Time Was Right. In 1837, a traumatic event occurred in the life of a small girl in Portland, Maine. This event eventually would have far-reaching consequences in all parts of the world. In 1837, the groundswell of expectation that Christ would come in 1844 was moving toward a crisis. In 1837, appointments for lectures in Vermont alone filled many pages in William Miller's memorandum book. In 1837, the United States was struck by a depression. Robert Harmon, a hat maker and father of eight, the youngest being his 9-year-old twins, Ellen and Elizabeth, had moved his family from the rural farm in Gorham, Maine, to the city of Portland, where he thought to find a better market for hats. But even the hat business had been affected. So one day in the winter of 1837 to 1838, he decided to take his supply of hats to Georgia in hope of a more ready sale. Doubtless there was an air of excitement in the family the night before he was to leave, as they helped wrap the hats and place them in a large leather bag. In imagination, we can see the whole family following the father to the stage depot early the next morning. Together they walked the dirt paths near their home, and then on the wooden sidewalks down to the old Elm House to catch the western stage for Boston and Point South. As Robert Harmon placed his hat box on top of the stage, he climbed in and turned to wave goodbye. Lovingly he looked at the cheerful, well-formed features of Ellen's face. The next time he was to see his precious daughter, she would be much changed. It was mid-afternoon. Ellen and Elizabeth, with a classmate, were crossing a park when they noticed that an older girl who also attended Portland's Brackett Street School was following them. Carrying a stone, she shouted some angry words. The Harmon children had been taught never to retaliate, so they ran toward home. As they ran, Ellen turned to see how far behind them the girl was. When she turned, the stone hit her directly in the face. She fell to the ground unconscious, blood streaming from her nose and staining her clothes. Someone gave her first aid in a nearby store. Then a customer, a total stranger, offered to take Ellen home in his carriage. But Ellen, fearing that she might soil his carriage with blood, refused. However, as she made the attempt by foot, she soon became faint and collapsed to the ground. Elizabeth and the classmate managed to carry her home, a block or two away. Anxious days followed. Ellen lay in a coma for 3 weeks. When consciousness returned, she remembered nothing of the experience. All she knew was that she was lying on her cot in great weakness. Then one day she heard a visitor say, "What a pity. I should not know her." "Let me see," Ellen said. They handed her a mirror. The shock was almost more than she could bear. "Every feature of my face seemed changed. The bone of my nose proved to be broken. The idea of carrying my misfortune through life was insupportable. I could see no pleasure in my life. I did not wish to live, and I dared not die, for I was not prepared." Ellen soon learned the tremendous difference one's personal appearance makes in the way one is treated. Though she slowly regained her strength for play, her young friends spurned her. Another consequence of her accident was that she found it impossible to study. She could not retain what she learned, and her hand was too unsteady to write. Her teacher advised her to drop out of school until her health improved. She recalled, "It was the hardest struggle of my young life to yield to my feebleness and decide that I must leave my studies and give up the hope of gaining an education." Ellen often felt unreconciled to being a near invalid. She also felt a deep sense of sin and guilt. At times, almost overwhelmed with distress, she turned to Jesus for comfort, and received from him consolation. "I believe that Jesus did love even me," she said. Later on, Ellen realized that the cruel blow that made her life miserable proved to be a blessing in disguise. "I might never have known Jesus, had not the sorrow that clouded my early years led me to seek comfort in him." In March 1840, William Miller conducted a series of revival meetings in Portland, Maine. In the series, he lectured on the Second Coming of Christ and other Bible prophecies. Earnestly, he preached that the end of the world was near. With her family and friends, Ellen attended the meetings. Miller's powerful and solemn sermons brought terrible conviction to the entire city, and comfort and hope to 12-year-old Ellen.